الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم If you watch kids when they build a tower with building blocks, then you know that the most dangerous or the most, you can say, sensitive part of their building those towers is when they put on the very, very, the very last few pieces. When they put the pieces on that are furthest away from the base. So for example, if you look at a child or a bunch of children that are playing with blocks, and they sometimes have these competitions where they one person puts on a block, and then the next person puts on the block, and the next person puts on the block, and they see whose block will knock over the whole building. And you see that when they first start, if you watch these kids play, when they first start, the first one to put down the block has no concern. There's nothing to fall. There's nothing to knock over. And then the second one puts down the block, the third one puts down the block. Initially, there's no concern. When this tower becomes very high, then you see that they're very careful, they're very slow, they calculate exactly how they should put that block down, and then they put the block down, and then you see things move a little bit, and then it stops, and then they're very happy that they were able to add that block. Until eventually what happens? A block is added, and when that final block is added, and it can no longer maintain the structure, then the whole structure collapses. This is the example of kids playing with blocks, but this example applies in many ways to us as well. You see that we, as a community, we are building on 1,400 years of foundation. And it's like each generation adds one layer to that building. But as each generation adds one layer to that building, that particular generation happens to be the one that's furthest away from the base. And so that particular generation also always feels at a great degree of risk from the fact that they feel that their structure can collapse at any minute. And that's exactly our example. We have the blessing of being part of the community, but at the same time, we have the difficulty of being so far away from the foundations of our deen. Now you see that how many ways we are distant. You know, we're distant by time, right? I mean, it's not even an issue of, well, we were 100 years after the Prophet ﷺ, or we were decades or years after the Prophet ﷺ. We're millenniums away from the Prophet ﷺ. You're not even talking about centuries, you're talking about millenniums, you know. Over 1,400 years away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and here we are trying to add blocks into that foundation. And in the same way, you look at how distant we are by location. You know, if you say that the foundation of the base of the deen is Haramain, you know, is Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, then you say to yourself that, you know, how far away could you be from them? And as a community, we are almost the furthest away that you could possibly be. It's not like we're in Jordan somewhere where, you know, you just cross the border and then you're there and you can visit at any time. You know, people save up for a lifetime to be able to just be able to go and visit these places. So, one, we have the distance of time. Two, we have the distance of, you know, of actual space. So we are building on a very, very delicate, we are not a delicate building, but we're in a very, very difficult stage in that distance. And you see that when these kids, when they are piling blocks on, initially they're not worried. But what happens is they begin to worry when they can see that the structure is a little bit weak. They see that, you know, it's about to collapse. So in the same way, given our distance of both time and place, this is what we should see ourselves. Now, when they're putting on those blocks at the very end, they're very careful. Why? Because they know that the whole structure, the whole structure could collapse at any minute. Their own particular structure, let's say. And so in the same way, we should be very, very cognizant. Very cognizant of the fact that we have to be very careful about how we live our lives. Because for us, you know, we're way at the top of that. And if we don't put that block down exactly the way it should fit, it's very possible that our entire foundation could come crumbling down. And you see that. And it was predicted by the Prophet alayhi salam. Now what would happen? People would wake up in the morning, right, with deen, and they would misplace the block on their building. And what would happen? They would lose their deen by the end of the day. People would go to bed with deen, but they would misplace the block on that structure, and they would wake up without their deen the next day. This is exactly what was described by the Prophet ﷺ. And we see it with our own eyes. I see it so regularly. You hear it, you see it in the actions of people. You hear it in the statements that they make. It's not ba'id. You know, ba'id means far. You know, beyond something that you could fathom in your mind. It's not beyond something that we can fathom in our mind. And even the notions pop up in our own minds. And this is the difficulty in which we live, because there is so much confusion in this day and age. There's so much confusion, there's so much spiritual disease, there's so much difficulty that we live in a very, very dangerous time. You can easily be swept away by the tide of the time. It's a very, very worrisome situation. Now, given that, we should recognize that in this time of difficulty and in this circumstance of, you know, almost constant spiritual battle, really that's what it is. The entire world is just under siege. There is no place of safety. There's no place you can go anymore. You know, there used to be that you would go to your home and it would be safe. The home has become completely destroyed. It would be that you could come to the Islamic Center and be safe. Even the Islamic Centers, you can see stuff seeping in from the outside. You can see the way people come dressed to the centers. You can see the actions that are occurring within the centers. You can see the fighting. You know, it's all become politics nowadays. Even the centers have become very, very, even a difficult place to be. And in this type of situation, the Prophet ﷺ, he told us that this would be the end of time. You know, when you reach the end of time, we were told that this would be the circumstance. But at the same time, we've also been given a place in which we can be able to seek refuge and be protected. And that is, you know, the Haramain, Mecca Sharif and Medina Sharif. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made a very beautiful dua at the time that he established, he answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he established the Kaaba. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he quotes Ibrahim alayhi salam in making this dua. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked his Lord, oh, رَبِّ اجْعَلْ, oh my Lord, make this, هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا, make this a land of security, a land of peace and security. Meaning the Prophet, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the dua that he was making was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the haram, a place of security, a place of peace, a place of aman. And that dua was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran also gives a response. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. And whoever enters it, yani the haram, kana amina, he's in peace, he's in aman, he's in security. And so, from this, our scholars, not only from this understanding, but directly from hadith as well, our scholars have stated that the haram, The haram is the one place in the world when difficulty will overtake every nook and corner of the world, the one place in the world where there will be spiritual safety. Spiritual and physical, but spiritual safety will be the haram. It's the only place in the world where that is a guarantee. Now, we have to recognize that. You know, we're fools. We're fools to think that somehow it's so funny to watch Muslims pat themselves on the back. You know, they're patting themselves on the back and they're claiming to have achieved something. But actually, underneath their feet, the entire foundation is melting. And what people don't realize is that they feel very comfortable. They feel very comfortable compromising many, many aspects of the deen, thinking somehow that they've achieved something. But in reality, this is all spiritual destruction. In every corner, there's spiritual destruction. Everywhere you look. Now, we have to be realistic of that. We shouldn't be somehow in this false notion that everything is great when we see within ourselves that we are so weak. I mean, look, Ramadan is coming. Ramadan is coming. You know, when people see the finish line, if you're running a race and you see the goal, you see the finish line, you don't drag your feet. You pick up speed. You watch people run marathons. When people run marathons, they run 26 mile marathon. They run. And when they come to the finish line, they really pick up speed and they begin to race towards the finish line. Right? And here we are, Ramadan coming up, and we're barely surviving. We're just trying to get to that Ramadan. We're basically crawling on our hands and feet, dragging ourselves on our stomachs, trying to get to Ramadan. And we can't even get excited when it's about to come. We can't even pick up speed. You know, we're just barely surviving and hanging on trying to get there. Same with our prayers. You know, we're barely making our prayers. We're lucky if we pray the Fardh. You know, let alone pray it in the masjid, let alone actually pray it in a way that would be acceptable. We're just lucky if even just the actions are there in this day and age. You know, the battle at the time of Rasulullah was depth in prayer. And the battle now is what? It's just maintaining the minimum aspects of prayer. You know, we pray and we don't know, was it 4 rak'ah or was it 3? You know, we can't even figure that out. And we're talking about, you know, where the community was and where we've ended up. We're in a very difficult time. We should be realistic with ourselves. And that's not to say that, you know, we need to get depressed or we shouldn't look up to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to offer. We know that the Prophet alayhi salam has mentioned that there will come a time when people will practice only 10% of the deen, but the practicing of 10% of the deen would be sufficient for them to be able to enter into Jannah. So that's the handicap. You know, they give you a handicap if you don't have all of the faculties that are necessary to be able to allow you to attain a goal. So this is the handicap. But we should recognize that we're in a very difficult time. Very difficult time. And one of the shields in this time is to make sure that we keep a connection with the haram. Keep a connection with the haram. I had the opportunity to... I happened to be in Saudi Arabia for some other reason, and I happened then to be able to just spend a few hours in Medina Munawwara. Just, you know, I 4 hours, you know, just minimal time. And when I was there, I was able to meet Sheikh Zulfikar, who happened to be there that same time that I was there. And, you know, I hadn't seen him for a very long period of time. It had been about a year. And I just literally was waiting for him at the first floor of his hotel. He went for Jummah prayer. I just followed him to the Jummah prayer. I spoke to him very, very briefly on the way there. And then on the way back, again, I followed him back. Of course, you can't talk. It's so hot outside and there's so many people. Eventually, we got to the hotel and I talked to him for a few minutes inside the hotel. And when we sat down in the hotel, he just said one thing to me. Just said one very simple thing. He said, look, we live in a very difficult time. And this period of time was the time that our pious predecessors made dua that they never see. Our pious predecessors, despite their piety, made dua that they never see this difficult time, and we, with our lack of piety, are comfortable in it. You know, ajib. He said this to me, and then he said that, listen very carefully. It's very clearly stated in hadith that at the end of time, as you approach the end of time, that there will be many, many difficulties that will fall upon the entire world. And there will be no place of safety except the Haramain. Except the Haramain. And that the scholars of the time, the scholars of the time will begin to recognize that there is no safety anywhere, and they, in their scholarship and wisdom, will also begin to slowly retreat to the Haramain. They'll begin to increase their time there. They'll begin to go there in order to rejuvenate themselves, in order to reset themselves. And he said to me, look, let me tell you one very important thing is that you have to be consistent in coming to the Haramain to reset yourself. It's the only place you can achieve a spiritual break. It's the only chief place that you can recharge yourself in that very special way. And then he said another thing, which was probably even more important. He said that you not only have to come regularly, but you have to bring your family regularly. Why? Because it's the only place that your children will see Deen. It's the only place that your children will see Deen. Now, yes, they come to the masjid. Yes, they may end up in a conference. But that Deen, you know, the essence of the Deen, the whole focus of life being Deen, everyone gathered together in a place for the sake of Deen, you know, that, and I think everybody knows this, that when you enter into the Haramain, it's just a very, very special place. And it allows you to reset. And this is something that we have to be cognizant of, that if we want for our children to be able to practice the deen the way it should be practiced, they need to be put in the environment where deen is first. And there's nothing that compares to the environment of the Haramain, especially obviously the Kaaba. Now you see that, I mean, we go there and we're affected. But if our kids don't see it, and they've never seen it, then they will never be able to appreciate what they're missing. And we have to recognize this. Now, I realize that it's a very difficult thing. It can be expensive. It may be hard to get to. But it should be a priority. It should be a priority. When we need to get somewhere, we manage to go if it's a priority. You know, because all the kids have gone to Disneyland, right? If our kids need to get to Disneyland, then we make it a priority. We get there. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, you know, we get there. So, this is a place that each person should try to go to regularly. It should really be the focus. I mean, if it's about saving the money to get there, then we should save the money to get there. If it means going there once a year, if it means going there once every 5 years, but there should be some consistent visiting of this place. It's like, imagine that let me just make a very simple example. Let's just imagine that the Prophet alayhi salam was alive. Okay? Would we not go and visit him as frequently as we could? I mean, would you spend your whole life and not go there? I mean, if you had the money, would you go travel someplace to see some, you know, people dressed up like mice or whatever, clowns or whatever it is? Or would you go and visit the Prophet alayhi salam? You would clearly go and visit the Prophet alayhi salam, but what we don't recognize is he actually is alive in the grave. When you go and visit him, you're visiting him as if he's alive in front of you. You know, it's the one place where you can go and you can actually speak to the Prophet ﷺ and say, you know, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And you could say, make dua for me, the way you would have said, make dua for me if he was standing in front of you. So this is an opportunity for us. We should not think that we don't need it, or we should not think that it's somehow something secondary. And we should go there, we should take our kids there, we should make it a priority in our life. But what happens is we entangle ourselves in so much other garbage. You know, we get caught up, we want this particular car, right? So now we have to get caught up in how we're going to save up for this car. We want this house. We get really caught up in this one particular house. So now what happens, we spend 30 years, you know, trying to pay off this one particular house. And because we're so focused on this one house, we lose all the wus'ah. You know, we lose all the space, all the expanse that was present in our wealth to be able to make trips like these. All of it's gone for the sake of being able to establish this dream. that, you know, we're going to have our house and we can have our lawn and we can have this and that. I'm not negating those things, but what I'm saying is that when we begin to make those things priority, then they'll come. Now when they come, but if they come at the expense of being able to recharge ourselves in such an important way, then we're the ones that lose. So, you know, this is like, it's like a person who comes to visit somewhere and then always says, well, I'm going home. You know, there was a brother, he came from far away, right? And he came here just for a couple of years. And then someone said to him, you know, you're here for a couple of years. Why don't you buy a house? Because if you buy a house, you'll save on rent and this and that. He said, you know, brother, what do I have to buy a house for? I'm not staying here. I'm just a student. I'm leaving in 2 years. So, you know, in the same way, our home is not here. We're not staying here. Our home is, if anything, if there's any place, any land on earth that's ours, where we actually feel comfortable and at peace, it's the Haramain. SubhanAllah, you go there, it's like, you know, you go there and the eyes are protected, the mind is protected, the focus is on ibadah, there's energy, because there's energy, because basically it's a gathering of the righteous and the most sincere in the community, there's so much energy, you just sit down, you yourself feel energized. You know, you feel like, I wish I could never leave this place. You actually feel good about who you are. And there's no confusion, you know, it's all just Muslims everywhere. You know, there's no apologizing. There's no being ashamed of who you are. And many of us have the difficulty of being ashamed of who we are. But over there, you can totally be who you are and actually you'll be elevated because of it. People will actually shake your hand and smile at you because of it. You can actually be yourself. You can come out of your shell. And that's important. It's an important aspect of who we are. We're always apologizing, we're always hiding, you know, we're always trying to show who we are, you know, that we're not this and we're not that, and, you know, we're always compromising everything. Over there, you can actually be who you need to be, you know, you can live the sunnah, and people will actually respect you, and you actually feel totally comfortable. So, this is a goal that each and every one of us should have. And if we have kids, it should be that we take the kids there, you know. We regularly, now regularly, again, it doesn't mean it has to be every 6 months or every year or even every 2 years, but there should be some sort of time frame in our mind that every 5 years, I think that's doable, right? Once every 5 years, if you say to yourself, okay, you know, every year we go on some vacation, it costs this much money, for the next 3 years we're not going to go on that vacation, but instead we're going to take the family to this place, it's doable. You know, everybody manages to do the things that they need to do. So, we should be very, very particular of the fact that we are dependent on such places. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very well known, that this is a place of aman. It's a place of aman, physical aman, and spiritual aman. So we have to make sure that we get there on occasion, so that we can actually reset ourselves, and so that we can reset our families, and so that they can actually see, you know, what it is, what the deen actually is. What the deen is when it's alive. It's one of the few places where the deen is alive and vibrant, and there's this energy that's flowing through the people. And there's very few places in the world where our children will be able to see that. You're fortunate enough to be in Chicago where there's at least, you know, a pulse, you know, albeit a weak one, but there's a pulse. But, you know, over there, it's bounding. It's very, very vibrant. It's very alive. So we should, you know, we should think about it. We should plan. We should say, okay, we know that, I don't know, what is it? March is low season. Tickets are cheap and, you know, there's relatively fewer people there. It's not expensive to go there. So we can plan such trips and be consistent in visiting these places. If Allah gives us a tawfiq, and if not, and the door only opens once every 5 years, then we go once every 5 years, and Allah will provide us with the benefit of 5 years, right? That's not difficult for Allah. It's all based on the intention of the person. If they say, I gotta get there no matter what, they'll get there. You know, this is my priority, this is priority number one. I want to take my family and visit the Prophet ﷺ. I want to take my family and show them the house of Allah. I want to go into this place and seek aman. If that becomes the goal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly will open the door, and not only open the door, but grant you the tawfiq to be able to take advantage of it. And if it's just some secondary thing, even if you go, you won't get the same benefit. Because you've made it secondary, that's the intention. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be able to be consistent and regular in visiting the Haramain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be among those who achieve both spiritual and physical aman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who are able to repeatedly visit His blessed home. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim.